Aia cea de acabe, și-o ta de mana, cabe hama eribo, Sri Vrindavan. Vishaya chadiya kabe chuta be mana kabe hamo heribo Sri Vrindavan. Raghunatha pade aibe aputi kabe hama bhujabo se yugala piriti. Tapade paibe akuti abe hama bujabo se yugala piriti. Raghunatha pade rahu mora prarthana koro ye sada narotamada. Rupa Raghunatha pade rahu mora prarthana koro ye sada narotamada. Hari Hari bolte nayani bhave বলিতে হবে। কুলাকা সারি হরি হরি বলিতে নয়নে ববে
has written this song, Lala Shamayi Prarthana. Lala Shamayi means the feeling of separation. When the heart is inflicted in that lonely state of longing for the mercy of Sri Gaurachandra. Gauranga bolite habe pulaka sarie hari hari bolite nayane bhave nir. He is longing for that day to come when simply upon the recitation of the three syllables, Gauranga, that incessant tears spring from the core of the heart and flow incessantly from his eyes. And he is praying that upon taking the holy names, Hari Hari, that his voice becomes choked in the emotion, in the state of spiritual emotions. And then he is praying for the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is an ocean of kindness, and by whose grace one is delivered from all the pangs of this world of samsara, or birth and death. He is praying that he may give up all desires to enjoy through the process of sense gratification, because it is only at that time when we do not even have the least inclination toward material enjoyment that the true beauty and sweetness of Sri Vrindavan Dham is revealed to us. He is offering his heart in supplication at the lotus feet of Srila Rupa and Raghunath and the six Goswamis, by whose divine transcendental literatures, in following in their footsteps, one can enter into the yugala piriti, the love of conjugal ras. And then he is surrendering himself as the servant of the servant of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, expressing that they are his only hope in salvation. The devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are always striving to cultivate these sentiments. Pipralamba Seva. The sentiments of feeling the tears of the heart in separation from Sri Gauranga and his associates. And even in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own personal lila, we find this ras of sambhog and vipralamba seva, of meeting and separation. From the very beginning of the lila of Lord Gaurasundara, this is so deeply expounded. Sri Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra were living in Sri Navadvip Dham, and they were pure devotees of Lord Sri Krishna. And they were very much longing to have a beautiful child. Everyone knows that a mother becomes extremely attached to the child within her womb. Of course, nowadays, sometimes we can see the extent of how ruthless and cruel a person could be by misusing the child in the womb, sometimes even murdering. But a person who actually has some human sentiments, the mother bearing the child, feeding the child within her own womb, is very much attached and very much longing and waiting to see the beauty of this child when it comes out. So Sachi Mata, she had six very beautiful, illustrious daughters. And every one of them, very shortly after they were born, they died, year after year after year. Isn't it amazing how before the Lord agrees to advent in his original form through his devotee, he causes them so much pain and suffering. Devaki also, 6 children consecutively. She had 6 sons, and each one of them she saw murdered right before her eyes just after birth. And Sachi Mata, of course, they were not murdered. They died by natural means. But she saw her 6 children pass away right before her eyes. So they began, Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Mata, to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Narayan. They were devotees of Shalagram Shila. Also, they had a murti of Lord Narayan in their temple, and they worshipped with great pomp according to their means. They were very poor people, but they worshipped with great devotion. And in reciprocation, a beautiful, beautiful son was born, who was none other than a partial expansion of Lord Nityananda Balaramji. He possessed all saintly, auspicious qualities. He possessed all the signs of an avatar. He was so beautiful. He was given the name Vishwarup. This Vishwarup became the pride and joy, not only of his own parents, but of everyone in Navadvip Dham. He was such a devotee that from his earliest childhood he was always perfectly well behaved, always most humble, most submissive, most respectful to all living beings, completely non-violent, and never wanted to waste a second. He never indulged in playing frivolous sports or games like most children, but he simply had the natural inclination to hear the Bhagavatam and chant the holy names of Krishna. From his very, very birth, he had these qualities. And his physical features were so captivating to the heart and to the mind that anyone that would see him would simply fall in love with him. They just wanted to embrace him. Shortly after Vishwarup, on the full moon night of the month of Phalgun, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although Nimai Pandit, as we know, was very, very naughty, and no one, his mother, his father, no one could curb his restless, mischievous nature, except one person, and that was Vishwarup. Whatever Vishwarup said, Nimai would become very humble and submissive and do it. He was his older brother. This is the power of Vishwarup's stature. It is explained that at that time in Navadvip Dham, there was only a small handful of Vaishnavas. Everyone else was involved in either atheism, karmakanda, jnanakanda, tantric yoga. They were worshipping various demigods simply for power and material prosperity. They were studying the Vedas scrutinizingly. Navadvip was in fact the high place of learning in all of northern India. But they were simply studying, simply to earn degrees, to feed their own false pride. And there was practically nowhere the chanting of the name of Krishna. And even those who were teaching Srimad Bhagavatam, giving these Bhagavat Saptahas, there was practically not a trace of real devotion to Krishna being taught. So the Vaishnavas, they were so much sad and depressed. The people around so materialistic. They would see these citizens of Navadvip Dham and all around, they would just work, 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 making so much money. For what? They would take their money and they would make big, big, big lavish arrangements simply for the marriage of their children. Tremendous, tremendous festivities. In this way, the Vaishnavas would simply cry to see how they were just wasting their precious human lives. And whenever they would chant the holy names, these people, they would threaten them. They would criticize them. They would ridicule them. They would banish them. So seeing this, Vishwarup became so sad that he wanted nothing to do with material society at all. From his earliest childhood, he would just weep tears of compassion for these foolish souls. But yet you could not teach them anywhere anything because they were so proud. So Vishwarup, he only had one source of joy, to go to the house of Sri Advaitacharya, who was then living in Navadvip. And in that association of Sri Advaita, Mukunda, Srivas, and some others, they would just recite Bhagavatam, discuss Krishna Katha, and together they would chant the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
He took such great joy, although he was such a young, not a young man, but a young boy. He would take such joy, such pleasure in being with these great Vaishnavas, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And he became the very life and soul of all the devotees. When he would come to Advaitacharya's house, Sri Advaitacharya would gather everyone together and he would each day ask Vishwarup to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he would speak with such sincere feeling, such genuine love and devotion. And he was so deeply, deeply learned in the scripture that everyone was just struck with wonder. When he would recite the Bhagavatam and when he would sing the beautiful names and glories of the Lord, all of the Vaishnavas of Navadvip Dham, their eyes would just fill with tears and their hearts would just be bursting with love, with pure devotion. In this way, he became the very heart and soul of everyone. And he would spend all of his day there. And then he would come home. He would have no social life. He would simply come home. He would offer his respectful obeisances to his mother, Sachi Devi, his father, Jagannath Mishra. And then he would just go in his room and he would worship Shalagram Shila. He would do puja to Sri Krishna. He would chant the names, study the Bhagavatam. That was his whole life. Can you imagine a young child with this consciousness? And no one could possibly deviate him from his pure love and his service. It is described that little Nimai, nobody could understand who he was or what his purpose was. One time, Mother Sachi Devi had cooked prasad and Vishwarup had not returned home. He was so much engrossed in the divine Krishna Katha at the house of Sri Advaitacharya. Mother Sachi asked Nimai, that please go to Advaitacharya's house and bring Vishwarup home. Tell him that his dinner has been waiting for him. So Nimai Pandit went running to the house of Sri Advaita. And when he came into the home, they were all singing the beautiful glories of Krishna. And when he came in, he revealed to them his divine nature. They didn't understand who he was, but they became so much attracted to the beauty of this child. Exactly the same love flowed at the sight of this child as flowed when they would remember the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. They could not understand it. They all became speechless. They became motionless. Their eyes unblinking, their mouths open. They were just looking at the beautiful qualities of this little boy. And tears were flowing. And then Nimai just pulled Vishwarup's hand and said, Mother has called you to come and take your prasad. Please come. And then the devotees were still looking at him like this. How could anyone capture our hearts in this way? And he just said, you have called my name, so I have come. And then he ran off. And he took Vishwarup with him. They could not understand. But they all began to discuss amongst themselves, who is this Nimai Pandit? What is it about him that is drawing our love incessantly? So Vishwarup He lived in this way, always engrossed in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the kirtan of the holy name. But then his mother and father, they were becoming very worried about him. He was becoming too much of a sadhu. So they decided that they should arrange for him to marry, travel to all the holy places of India, simply engrossed in chanting Krishna's holy names. Now, as you know, Nimai, he was a very, very restless child, always playing so many pranks on everyone. He would go to the Ganges, and what he would do there, you have heard. He would go to the young ladies who were worshipping Lord Shiva, hoping to have a good husband. And he would sit right on Shiva's throne, and he would take the garlands for Lord Shiva and put it on his head, around his own neck. And he would take all the food that was being offered and eat it. And then he would take all the sandalwood and apply it to his own forehead. And then he would say, "I am the source of Lord Shiva, so you should worship me." "What are you doing? You are ruining our offerings." And they would become very angry, and they would run away, and he would say, "If you do not give me all the rest of your offerings, I curse you that you will have old, deformed husbands with many co-wives. But if you offer me your offerings, I promise that you will get very young, rich, handsome, nice husband who will take good care of you." So they would all come back and give all their offerings. In this way he was very restless. When the Brahmins would be chanting their Sandhya, their Gayatri in the Ganges, he would swim underwater and grab their feet and pull them, for they fell in the water. And then when they would come up, they wouldn't know who was doing this, what was happening. They would be looking around, and all of a sudden he would just come up. His mouth would be full of water, and he would go, and he would spit it in their faces. And then he would go underwater and hide. And when the young men and young girls, they would bathe at different parts of the Ganges, Nimai and his friends, they would take all the saris of the women and bring it to the side where the men were bathing, and bring the kopins of the men and bringing it to the sides of the women. Then they would want to come out, but they could not come out. Mataji's wearing kopins. They cannot do like that. And men, sadhus wearing saris also, it's almost as bad. So, and who is going to trade? None of them could come out to make the exchange. They would all just be looking what to do. And Nimai and his friends would just be laughing, Haribo. So you're very mischievous. And they would complain to Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra. But it is explained, the more Sachi Devi or Jagannath Mishra tried to correct Nimai, the more he would become rebellious in his mischief. But it is explained that after Vishwarup left the planet of the material world for sannyas, at that time, when they found out what had happened, Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra were so stricken with pain that they may never see him again. They loved him so dearly. They were just in an ocean of grief. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, Nimai, was also in such an ocean of grief because he loved his brother so dearly. He was the only person in the world who he respected in that way. So at that time, Nimai became very humble and very, very self-controlled. He gave up most all of his mischief. Poor Jagannath Mishra was weeping and weeping and weeping. And people from the town, whose Vishwarup was also their life and soul, they were all coming and they were all weeping with him. And they were all trying to console him. But nothing could console him. Even Nimai, he was trying to console his bereaved father. they were speaking such nice philosophy to him. And he would listen to the philosophy. But as soon as the thought of Vishwarupa would enter into his mind, again he would just fall down and start to weep. He could not control his mind or senses. So, they told Jagannath Mishra, and Jagannath Mishra replied. He said, actually, this is all the supreme will of Lord Sri Krishna, that nothing happens by chance. I know that this is all meant for the ultimate good. Whatever Krishna does is perfect, so I must accept it. In this way, he became a little pacified. But some days later, he turned to Sachi Mata, and he said, my dear Mataji, my dear wife, you know that our son Nimai, he is the only thing we have now. There's nothing else in our life except him. And you see how he's so much engrossed in studies. He's constantly studying the scriptures. I'm afraid this is the same thing Vishwarupa was doing before he left to take sannyas. He said, anybody who properly studies the Vedas will come to the realization that this material world and all the pleasures of this world are a grand illusion. Anyone who thoroughly studies the Vedas will renounce all desires to be a part of this society, friendship, and love of this world, and they will renounce everything and take sannyas. So therefore, the only hope that we can survive in the presence of Nimai is we have to stop him from any further studies. So Sachi Devi said, but if he does not study, if he does not get a good education, then how will we get a good wife for him? No, this is all nonsense. He said, Krishna is the supreme controller of everything. If Krishna wants our son to have a nice wife, he doesn't need any education. After all, we see sometimes the most intelligent, intellectual people, their marriages are a terrible crisis. They have wife, she dies. Huh? good woman has husband, dies. And sometimes very, very simple people, they are given such wonderful families. It has nothing to do with your education. It has nothing to do with your qualification. It all simply has to do with Krishna's mercy. Because our son is pious and he is good, he will have good wife and good family. He does not need learning. And besides, if he continues learning, he's sure to renounce the world and follow in the footsteps of his brother. So Sachi Devi said, whatever you say, Jagannath Mishraji. So he went and he told Nimai that from this day on, I'm relieving you from all the responsibilities of studies. You can just play as much as you want, you can do as much mischief as you want, but you don't do any more studies of these shastras. So then he became very naughty. Very, very naughty. He would break things, he would do so much mischief, he would make so much trouble with his friends. But Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, they wouldn't dare to even say a word to correct him. In fact, Jagannath Mishra was thinking, let him do anything he wants, let him ruin anything he wants, let him do any trouble he wants. But just to see him doing these things is the pleasure of our heart. But let us not take any risk that he will become too wise and leave home. Let him be a fool and stay home, but not a wise man who renounces the world, like our Sankirtan Das, Achyutananda, Sanat Kumar, Shamananda, Satyavrat, Digvijay, Nimai Pandit, maybe Ananda. We don't want him to be Bhagavan. We do not want him to be so wise like this. Rupa Goswami, Gaur Gadadhar, Kardama Muni. So one day Jagannath Mishra, he went out of town to perform some responsibilities. And at that time, Nimai climbed on a pile of discarded pots that were used to cook prasad for the Lord. It was in the garbage area, and it was considered a very dirty place, all full of the black, you know, from the fire. The bottoms of the pot becomes very black and charcoal-y, and it comes off very easy, and whatever you touch becomes very black. So there was this big pile of these broken pots, and Nimai was sitting on top of this big pile, and he wouldn't move. So some of the village ladies reported this to Sachi Devi. He was just a young boy. And Sachi Devi came and said, "Why are you on these pots? You should come down." He said, no, I will not come down. Until you give permission and blessings that I can study again, I will not come down." And all, so many of the neighboring women were there. And he said, "Besides that, these are the pots of Vishnu. They are pure." He said, "But they are all black. They are discarded. You must know." He said, "Well, how am I supposed to know? If you don't let me study, if you want to keep me a fool, how can you expect me to discriminate? You are not allowing me to read any books. You are not allowing me to go to any school. Until you give your vow that I can become intelligent to discriminate, I will just stay up here like a fool." And the neighboring ladies all began to look at Sachi. "You're not allowing your son to read? You're not allowing him to study? What nonsense? You should be proud. Most children hate reading and studying. Your child is so anxious. You should give him all facility. Why you want him to be such a fool? This is terrible." And Sachi Devi's, "All right, you come down. So she had to go all the way up herself and pick him up and bring him down. And then when Jagannath Mishra came back, she explained to him what happened. So he said, "All right, he can study." And Nimai told Jagannath Mishra that he wanted to study in the Gurukul of Sri Gangadas Pandit. So Jagannath Mishra brought Nimai to Gangadas. And Gangadas, knowing Jagannath Mishra to be such a pure saintly person and such a wise scholar himself, they both embraced each other in great love. And Jagannath Mishra said, "I would like to entrust my son under your care." And Gangadas Pandit said, "With my life and soul, I will teach your son. This is my greatest fortune. To teach the son of Jagannath Mishra is the greatest honor of my life." So Nimai began to study again. Shortly after this, Sri Jagannath Mishra, in the middle of the night, he started crying and weeping in great, great distress. And Sachi Devi, she asked him when he woke, "What happened? What type of dream did you have?" He said, "This was the most wonderful and most terrible dream. First I saw our little Nimai. He was in the robe of a sannyasi. His beautiful hair was shaved. His arms were raised as he was chanting in a tumultuous, thunderous voice the names of Lord Hari. And there were hundreds and thousands of people following behind him, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." They were all worshipping him with such love, with such devotion. And he was dancing in such transcendental ecstasy. And everyone, upon hearing his chanting, and upon seeing his beauty, and upon seeing his graceful dance, everyone was completely immersed in divine love, tears flowing, chanting the holy names of Sri Krishna. He said, "My dear Sachi Devi, this dream is causing too much pain to my heart." And Sachi Mata told Jagannath Mishra that this is only a dream. You should not be so worried. Because after all, after Vishwarup left us, Nimai promised that he would remain with us and be our good son. But from the time of that dream, nothing could pacify the heart of Jagannath Mishra, because he knew it was inevitable in due course of time that Nimai would become a sannyasi and leave home. So he became very silent. He was not able to speak to anyone. He became very introverted. And very shortly after this, his soul departed from his body to enter into the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. At that time, Sachi Devi, she was so much bereft. She had lost her eldest son. She had lost her six daughters. Now she had lost her husband. She was weeping and weeping and weeping. And everyone was coming to try to console her, but no one could console her except Nimai. The only thing that consoled her was Nimai said, "My mother, I am here to protect you. I am here to always be at your side. You have nothing to fear." And she said, "As long as you remain home with me, that is the only solace, the only shelter of my life." Nimai said, "I will never leave." So from that time on, Sachi Mata, her everything was simply her little Nimai. As Nimai grew a little older, she thought that the only way I can survive is if he remains home with me. And the only way he'll remain home with me is if he is married. So one Brahmin, just as she was thinking like this, one Brahmin came to the house of Sachi Devi, and he said that, "You know, there's a very beautiful young girl. She is the daughter of one Balabhacharya. Her name is Lakshmi Devi. She would be a very good bride for your Nimai, whose actual name, official name, was Vishwambhar, given by Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur." But she did not express any interest. So the Brahmin felt very dejected. And he was walking back toward the Ganges, and Nimai was coming, and he saw the Brahmin, and he said, "Why do you look so sad?" He said, "I proposed a marriage for you to Lakshmi Devi, but your mother, she did not show any interest." So Nimai went home and he said, "Mother, I would be very happy if you do like this." And Sachi Devi was very overjoyed to hear he was willing to get married to such a nice... Lakshmi Devi was coming from a very poor family. But Sachi Devi and Nimai, although they were also very poor, they did not mind. She had such good qualities. That was their only concern. So in this way, the marriage was arranged. And shortly after the marriage, Lakshmi Devi, she was the heart and soul of Sachi Devi. She was so beautiful and so chaste and so faithful. And just her only ambition in life was to serve her husband and her mother-in-law with such pure spirit of love. When Sachi Mata would see Lakshmi Devi and Lord Gaurasundar standing together or sitting together, her heart would just know no bounds of joy. Such a perfect consort we have found. She could actually see practically in her heart the beautiful form of Lakshmi Narayan or Radha and Krishna standing before them. And then Nimai told his mother one day, "I am going to the eastern part of Bengal to teach." And while he was gone, Lakshmi Devi could not bear the separation. So she went and her husband was gone for more time than expected. And a moment was like 12 years or more for her. So she sat on the bank of the Ganges and closed her eyes and began to meditate on the beautiful form of Sri Gaurasundara. And in the intensity of her separation, she could no longer endure living in this world. And her soul went back to her eternal lover and consort in the spiritual world. When Sachi Mata found that now her beautiful chaste daughter-in-law had died, again great grief was in her heart. And after some time, Nimai came back. But he had a great, great, successful, triumphant visit to East Bengal. He had made thousands upon thousands of disciples, and they were bringing beautiful gifts for him. He had to have a whole entourage of people who came with him just to carry all the beautiful dakshin, the gifts that he received. And in this poor Brahmin's household, he was bringing such wealth back. He was thinking his mother will be so satisfied. And when he came back, all the people of Navadvip were coming to greet him, because here was Nimai, the best amongst all of them in every regard. But he saw Sachi Devi. She didn't want to say anything to him about Lakshmi Devi because he was in such a happy spirit. And there was nothing that pained her heart more than seeing her son sad. So she could not say anything to him. Meanwhile, he was just telling all jokes about what happened and humorous stories about his pastimes in East Bengal. And Sachi Mata was just sitting in the corner, just trying to control her emotions over the loss of her daughter-in-law. So when all the guests left after hours and hours through the night of wonderful celebrations, Vishwambhar asked, "Why is my mother so sad?" He could understand what must have happened. "Where is my Lakshmi Devi?" He came to Sachi Mata. She was sitting alone, weeping. He said, "Mother, where is my wife? Why has she not come to greet me?" And then, when it was told to him, Sachi Devi herself could not say it, but other people there had to tell him. Then he also began to weep in separation from his eternal consort, just as Ram wept at the disappearance of Sita Devi. Sachi Mata, she told Nimai that there is only one thing that will console me. Please accept another wife. She simply wanted it to keep him home because he was her all in life. So he said yes. And he married the beautiful and chaste goddess of fortune who appeared in the form of Vishnupriya. She was very young, and he was also very young. And then, of course, we know when his mother was very old and Vishnupriya was only 16, for the sake of preaching the glories of the holy name to all the conditioned souls of the world, he was willing to forsake his own mother, who loved him more than love itself. And his own wife, who knew nothing but him in her life, he left. In the middle of the night, he went to Katwa and accepted the renounced order. And from that day on, for the rest of her pastimes in this world, Sachi Mata was simply engrossed in the feelings of love and separation from her beloved son, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who can understand the nature of the love of Sachi Devi? Her life was simply one tragedy after another, after another, after another. One love after another being taken away from her. But through all of this, her attachment, her feelings, and her devotion to Sri Vishwambar, Sri Gaurasundar, was ever, ever increasing. And the ecstasy of that love was constantly growing. It is explained that when Sachi Devi, when she would cook, when she would make garlands, whatever she did through the day was simply for her Nimai, even though she was away. She would always feel his divine presence coming to accept her offerings. And Vishnupriya, his wife, she would just chant the holy names of Gaurasundar throughout the entire day. And both the mother and the daughter-in-law, they could not eat, they could not sleep. They were simply engrossed in the feelings of separation from Sri Gaurasundar. In this way, they were constantly immersed in the highest ecstasy of divine love. So this path of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this path of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, if we see that even the greatest of the personalities, what they were willing to endure to remain faithful in their loving service to the Lord, it gives us some idea of what is devotion. Devotional service is altogether different than any other process of religion or yoga, where we are expecting something for ourselves. But the path of devotion is the path of simply longing in love for the service of Sri Krishna. So Narottam Das Thakur, in this beautiful song entitled Lala Samayi Prarthana, is revealing to us this divine mood of love and separation, which is the very inherent basis of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. And all of these wonderful transcendental sentiments, they gradually awaken in the heart of one who sincerely, Naisham Matis Tavad Urukura Mangrim Sprishatyanatak Pakamoya Dharata Mahiya Sambhadara Jobishekam Niskinchana Nam Navrinita Yavat. One who bathes in the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas and chants the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Bo. Did you hear that, Tulsi? Did you hear? Ananda Vrindavan Prabhu Ki. You are very fortunate. So your house is sufficiently purified? All of these great renunciates placing the dust of their feet upon your house and accepting your prasad and chanting the holy names means that this house is now everlastingly established as a place of pilgrimage.